Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to It Could Happen Here, a podcast about things falling apart. I am Robert Evans, and today we're going to talk about a specific part of Eurasia, where I don't know, things are kind of on the edge of falling apart and maybe becoming something else. As I'm sure most people are aware, Russia expanded its invasion of Ukraine earlier this year. It has not gone well, and the government has recently announced that they are doing a general mobilization and bringing another 300,000 soldiers into their armed forces. A significant chunk, if not the bulk, of these recruitments are coming from areas away from the on the periphery of Russian power, you might say, particularly different chunks of the Russian state where there are minority populations who have been dissident to the Federation of Russia in the past. Probably the most active of these is a place called Dagestan. Most Americans probably are not super well-versed on this area. It is the furthest southern point in the Russian state. It borders Azerbaijan. It's pretty close to Turkey. And this is a region that has a massive Muslim population and has been the site of a lot of resistance to the Russian state in the recent past. And today we're going to be talking about what that looks like now as the government is attempting to draft men from this part of the state and as sort of resistance has risen up significantly within Dagestan. I'm going to be talking with Karina Avedisian. Karina is a PhD studying social movements in particularly in Russia. Karina, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So first off, I'm not an expert on Dagestan. What do you think is important for people to know about the relationship between this region and the Russian state?
It's the biggest republic in the North Caucasus. And it has actually independent media still, despite the really intense repression and the dozens of disappeared or murdered journalists from the republic. Kinship ties are strong in Dagestan. So the announcement of mobilization and the kind of, you know, the start of the mobilization process really affects people because extended families are close. So when someone is taken away, it affects a lot of people. So that in large part kind of explains the level of mobilization. The other thing I want to mention is that the North Caucasus region in general, but especially Dagestan and Chechnya, just kind of don't see themselves as part of Russia. To be honest, Russians don't really care about what happens there either. I mean, you know, it's as if it's another country. And there's this huge disconnect. So there doesn't really exist this kind of civic Russian identity. And the concept of Russia as a country is to a large extent held together by sheer repression and propaganda.
Yeah. That's kind of why I try to focus on, like, this is a part of the Russian state rather than, like, these areas are Russian, because that's certainly not the way it feels on the ground or the people feel about themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And you can kind of see differences in the way police respond to these protests in Russian regions versus places like Dagestan. In Russian regions, and by Russian region, I mean, you know, places where, you know, ethnic Russians are a majority.
Yeah.
You have people, or you have police kind of arresting or detaining and arresting protesters. Whereas in Dagestan, you know, the tactics of de-arresting people, you know, who are being kind of carted off is really significant because of the history of violence in the Republic. So abductions, disappearances and murder is very common. And this is something that I've heard Dagestani protest participants kind of express fear about. Like, you know, people know that that might happen. You might get identified among the protesters, and you might not get detained and arrested like you would, you know, in Moscow, for example, but you might get, you know, identified and then kind of targeted later.
Which is, yeah, I mean, obviously very frightening. One of the things that I had read kind of about some of the origins of the conflict in the region right now is that it had been common for some time, because the economy in Dagestan is in the Caucasus, which is a mountainous region in southern Russia, and it's where a great deal of the country's fuel comes from. There are kind of folks who will say that the government of the Federation has, like, avoided utilizing that infrastructure to the most that it can to avoid providing jobs, and it's made a lot of young men join the military to become contract soldiers. In the past, that was a good way to provide for, if you had a large family, you do a military contract, you're not going to get sent outside of the region. It's pretty safe. But then, of course, Putin invades Ukraine, and suddenly a lot of these people who had been doing this, not because they wanted to support the Russian Federation, but because it was a job, are suddenly being sent to go fight and die in outside of Kharkiv or wherever.
Yeah. The other thing is, that's why there's so many security personnel kind of internally in the Republic as well. So the Republic experiences high unemployment, as you mentioned, poverty. And it's almost by design, right? So many people are just relying on the state for jobs, and security services is one of the main sources of employment. But that also kind of has that double effect of, you know, being used as a tool for repression. So anytime kind of dissent comes up, even, you know, when a large part of the grievances are about poverty and unemployment and just kind of having no future, you have a kind of excess of people who are ready to kind of suppress any expression of kind of dissent that might lead to problems later.
And it seems like a great deal of dissent right now is coming from the Muslim pop, in particularly like the Muslim religious community within Dagestan. The reason that you and I are talking right now is you shared and commented on a post where someone was sharing a piece of protest art that was referencing a recent comment by the deputy mufti of Dagestan. And it's a stylized drawing of several mountains on a green background that says the invader doesn't become a martyr. And if I'm interpreting that correctly, what that's saying is it's a statement of protest from within the Islamic community of Dagestan saying, if you go to someone else's homeland to take part in an invasion and you die, you're not being martyred. You're not dying in a way that is, you know, respected by Allah, essentially. Am I interpreting that correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what it's saying. And I found that remarkable for a couple of reasons. The first is that dissent in the region originally, so, you know, after the collapse of the Soviet Union and then the First Chechen War, there was dissent, but it was mostly limited to ethno-nationalist movements who were very narrow in their messaging. So their grievances were, you know, just about their one ethnic group and, you know, whatever repression that they experienced. So they kind of missed out on broader support. And political Islam became a channel for kind of representing oppositional identity. And because of that cutting across of ethnic lines through Salafism, which is kind of a stricter interpretation of Islam, which is prone to radicalization. That had much broader support and posed a significant threat to Moscow. And I want to kind of make a parallel here because mosques and religious communities across the world are actually really interesting spaces for social movement mobilization. Some of the earliest works on social movement mobilization talked about Black churches in the U.S. as being, you know, key to the civil rights movement.
Absolutely.
Because you have these spaces that are kind of away from the state, away from surveillance, although in Dagestan and lots of parts of Russian Muslim spaces are totally infiltrated by the state, or they're actually, you know, state muftis, or the state's eyes and ears are kind of there. But still, there's these spaces, and I think that's a big kind of significant key factor in how this movement has been able to mobilize.
And I'm interested in, because obviously Chechnya is another part of Russia that has a large Muslim population. There was a horrible war there not all that long ago that is really a prelude in a lot of ways to the kinds of violence and the kinds of repressive tactics that are being used right now by the Russian state. What sort of separates, like, why didn't Dagestan kind of go the same way as Chechnya? Like, how, I'm kind of interested in that, because it seems as if the muftis there are much more willing to kind of act in resistance to the state still. Is it just a factor of the violence that was unleashed on Chechnya earlier, or is there more to it?
I think in large part it's the legacy of violence and war in Chechnya, but I think it's partly because of how of this kind of historical view of Chechnya as being, you know, a threat, a problem for the Russian Empire and previously, and then Soviet Union, and then now, you know, independent Russia, independent, you know. and it's really the rule of Ramzan Kadyrov, which plays a really suppressing role in the Republic and his security services. Chechnya has experienced post-war, I would argue it's calmer in a strange way. I mean, I was when I was doing my fieldwork in the North Caucasus, I visited Chechnya. I was in Kabardino-Balkaria, which is, you know, a couple republics over. It didn't experience war, but I remember at the time there were counter-terrorist operations in Kabardino-Balkaria where the security services would kind of lock down whole neighborhoods and kind of storm apartment buildings to go after someone who had been, you know, identified as a problem and just kind of, you know, neutralize that person. They were rarely detained. They were just kind of killed, no questions asked. Then going to Chechnya from that kind of context, that stuff doesn't happen just because the security apparatus is so strong and so intense that kind of thing doesn't happen. At the same time, you feel that tension, that kind of fear. So I think that's the main reason why you're not seeing these sort of protests in Chechnya.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey.
And me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from The Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When we talk about, like, what is it reasonable to hope for here? I wonder if you have any thoughts on that from Dagestan, like in terms of resistance to both this kind of general conscription order and resistance in general to the increasing imperial aims of the Russian state.
Yeah, I think it's revealing those cracks that I mentioned in the beginning about identity and then kind of this region not feeling like a part of Russia.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is that it's unprecedented in many ways, just in terms of its messaging. And, you know, protest movements in general are seen to kind of, when you participate in a movement, it's sort of transforming on an individual level. You feel like you're part of something. You see all these other people on the street who are, you know, agreeing with you in a context that's so authoritarian and you don't, you know, have that freedom to speak out. There's no free media in general. It's transformative. And I think that's probably, for me, at least as a social movement scholar, the most interesting aspect. I mean, we can't predict. We don't know what's going to happen. There might be a new wave of repression. But it's revealing these cracks and kind of almost providing this proof of the lie of this, you know, unified Russian state that is being kept together by repression and propaganda. I think the messaging also reflects a change in identity, in oppositional identity in the region. Previously, protests in the region were directed at the local leadership, so at the Republican level, right? So these are usually co-ethnics who are installed by Moscow, not so much to govern, but more to manage. And Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov is an extreme case of this. And it was a practice common in Imperial Russia, right? You install your own guy, but he's local, so it fits better with the population.
Right.
Even if they're only there to carry out policies that are decided in Moscow. So those protest movements were normally against the Republican authorities, their excesses, their corruption, and again, the exception to that is Salafism, which was targeting both Moscow and the local leadership. But here, in this new wave of protest movement, the sentiment, the grievances are against Putin.
Yeah.
And that's totally new.
And I one of the things that is kind of remarkable is you've gotten in the wave of, and these are not just in Dagestan, but Dagestan had a lot of the protests against this general mobilization order. You actually have what what looks to me, and you're certainly no more than I do, so tell me if you think my analysis of this is wrong, but looks to me like the regime blinking a little bit, because in the wake of the protests, you had both Putin and a number of different local leaders come out and say, because one of the things that was happening as soon as the mobilization started is you saw a lot of these people, including like doctors, healthcare workers, other kinds of professionals and industries that are generally protected from this sort of thing, getting pulled in by state forces and effectively drafted on the spot along with protesters. And in the wake of the outcry against that, Putin himself and a number of other local leaders have come out and been like, this was a mistake. We're releasing a number of these people. These certain, you know, we're not supposed to be drafting people from these certain professions and whatnot. And to me, that looked like, well, maybe that's a little bit of a blink. But I don't know if perhaps I'm being overly optimistic there.
No, I agree. And it speaks to the level of mobilization, that kind of unprecedented levels of mobilization on the street. And also speaks to the fact that, you know, previously Moscow, I mean, they didn't care as much when the protests were directed at the local authorities. I mean, they did, but not like this. This is threatening. And I was listening to an interview of a protest organizer from Dagestan. He's exiled, but he's kind of, you know, in touch with the people on the ground. And he was talking about how he felt that the reason mobilization orders have been commissioned kind of to the Republican authorities, the regional authorities, is on purpose so that grievances aren't directed towards Moscow, because it's the regional authorities deciding on who's being mobilized. And it's a kind of deflection of blame that he thought was by design. And the interviewer asked him a couple other questions. He was saying, oh, you know, we're hearing reports about the police being really brutal. And again, he was like, no, not really. that's not the point. That's not the question to be asking. It's actually deflecting, because again, the grievance is not to the local police. It's actually towards Moscow, who is, you know, the origin of this whole problem. And I think that's a threat.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you have any kind of advice for people if they're looking, as kind of things continue to develop in Dagestan, as there are more protests, which I'm sure there will be, are there actually like organizations over there that can be supported by people, including you mentioned independent media there? I'm just wondering if you have any kind of particular advice for folks who might either want to learn more about the region and what's going on, or who might want to try and help the people who are protesting right now.
Unfortunately, there's not much for outsiders to do. A lot of the news, and I think again,
I was kind of expecting that was the answer.
It's kind of a denied context. So, where I get the news is a couple Telegram channels that are only in Russian. Mm-hmm. So that probably doesn't help your audience if they don't speak Russian.
No,
there's a couple Twitter accounts that I would recommend people follow. You know, I don't know if I can mention that or.
Yeah, please. No, absolutely.
Let me quickly find the guys.
Personally, when it comes to like where I'm able to get English language news about the region, Medusa is generally kind of like one of the places where I've gotten some. Medusa is a Russian news site news organization that's banned in Russia. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, a Medusa journalist just got arrested in Dagestan by the state security services. You can go to medusa.io, and that's one place where I've come across news that's English language. It's not the most detailed coverage, but it's kind of hard to find that in English about stuff going on in Dagestan.
It is hard to find, and I would echo that sentiment of, you know, Medusa being a good source for that. There's a researcher on Twitter named Harold Chambers. His handle is ChambersHarold8, the number 8, and he is an analyst, and he is posting kind of more detailed, you know, in the weeds, up to date, day-to-day developments from the region.
And is there anything like I'm kind of closing out here, that you wanted to particularly get into about what's happening over there, about kind of, the development of social movements in Dagestan right now that you find particularly fascinating that you'd like to kind of talk about to the audience?
Yeah, I think, the context of the Russian war on terrorism in the North Caucasus plays a huge role here. Mm-hmm. And I mentioned, you know, the counter-terrorist operations that Russia used to use in the region as a repression tool. So they didn't have to be Salafists or kind of, you know, seen as, you know, extremists to be targeted and stuff like that. Like secular Dagestanis and Chechens were absolutely targeted in that context of counterterrorism. And it's really the fact that your Dagestanis are really tired of the repression. People leave the Republic and move abroad because they've been labeled a terrorist and they don't want to die. And when their families send them money to support them abroad, they get labeled as terrorists because they're helping, you know, support a terrorist.
Oh,
so
God.
It's also why the movement is leaderless, because there's really no intelligentsia or leaders left in the Republic anymore. Anyone who had any kind of critical standpoint has either been killed or exiled. So we have to see the mobilization in Dagestan as kind of, you know, with that backdrop. People are tired of the repression. The protests are spontaneous. And the fact that it's horizontal is also unprecedented. And it obviously means that it's much harder to repress the movement and suppress it because there's no, you know, individuals to kind of target.
That's interesting because that's obviously a global trend that we've seen in protest movements, not just against the Russian state, but around the world. Governments have gotten much better at finding leaders in protest movements, compromising them, going after them, targeting them, arresting them. And I think this has been a part of why all over the world you've seen so many more horizontal movements leading street protests against different kinds of repression, because it's really the only thing that can't be compromised easily by the security forces.
Yeah, especially in an authoritarian context.
Yeah. Well, Karina, is there anything else you wanted to say before we close out?
No, that's it.
All right. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about your plugs here, because you have a podcast that you're about to be starting.
Yeah, I'm starting a podcast. It is called Obscuristan Podcast, where we'll talk about the bizarre and fucked up nature of the region of Eurasia, but also more importantly, how it got that way. So that's what we're doing.
I can think of few more topics, more important topics for people, particularly people just where I live, to understand. So many people have been affected in you know, we're looking at the energy crisis hitting the UK and to a slightly lesser extent, continental Europe right now. We're looking at rising food prices in the United States, all of it tied to this conflict, which people wouldn't have been surprised by if they'd been paying attention to Eurasian history and politics a little bit more. So I think that's a commendable effort, and I'm excited to start listening. Thank you so much.
Can I mention one last thing?
Absolutely.
So I'm sitting in Armenia and speaking to you from Armenia. So mm-hmm. I would just encourage your listeners to find out about what's happening. We were recently attacked by Azerbaijan, and we have some 41 square kilometers that are currently occupied by Azerbaijani soldiers. So I would encourage people to learn about the conflict and kind of pay attention to what's happening here.
Yeah, absolutely. We continue to be big advocates for folks paying attention to that. It's. I don't know. I had this brief period of like optimism when the White House started making statements and Pelosi visited that, like, and we'll see. Maybe I know there's a vote coming up right now in Congress to stop selling weapons to the Azeris, which would be at least a start. What I think is necessary is for Armenia to have access to the kind of weapons that have been so successful at stopping foreign aggression and other countries, shall we say.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Well, all right. Karina, thank you so much for your time. That's going to be our show for the day. Have a good one, everybody. Keep paying attention to stuff.
It Could Happen Here is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more podcasts from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find sources for It Could Happen Here updated monthly at coolzonemedia.com/sources. Thanks for listening.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.